J.W. Mobile.
What are you up to today, Dave? KB4CVA.
Running around today. This last trip was out to Slosky's to get Slosky sandwiches. And I'm headed back home. What are you up to today?
I'm doing a little FT8 right now. Make contact with Germany.
Where Fred, W4FCM, yeah, Fred, W4FCM, the first one to check into the net every night. I saw where he hit Japan this morning on 10 meters.
10 right now. It's on FT8. It's jammed. I mean, I'm having to look for a place to transmit. You know, as soon as you quit transmitting, somebody will take your place, and you got to go hunt for another one.
Be on PSK, but it's not like that anymore. So you drop down the band a little bit and use PSK, you probably get through right away.
Okay.
KPRS sent out a beacon while you were talking and it covered you up.
Well, I was just looking for, I don't have PSK on my software here.
Using.
Yeah, SJTX.
You won't find it on there. If you use that FL Digi, you'll find it there.
Well, I want to go up and see Bob set up in D7J, and I think that's the software that he's using.
Got it. I've used it a few times before just to identify which protocol something is if I couldn't figure out what they were sending. Because it does so many of them. You can flip through them. Like if you see a strange looking signal you've never seen before, you can usually pull that one up and it can figure out which one it is. Matthew, that's a good software package.
Well, I'll tell you, I've got my hands full right now. It's crazy. I just started 10 meters and then worked my way to the lower band.
Any WSJT protocols on there? I think that's, those are exclusive to WSJT and his suite of protocols, but all of the other protocols you'll find on FLDigi. And it sounded like your client may have started transmitting while you were talking. Did that thing go into transmit mode? Because if it did, it overlaid your 2 meter signal a little bit.
Transmitting, I may be having a problem with this radio. That's a good reason to go buy a new one.
If I'm dropping down weaker on you than I was before, but you're dropping down a whole lot weaker than you were before me. You're getting right there at the white noise now.
It was him, Dave, in 0TR.
All right, well, I'll jump off of here. W4DJW, KB4CBA, and hey, Tom. And we'll talk to y'all later, 73.
Up just a little bit there on that last transmission, but that might be a good excuse to get another radio if that's what you're looking for. If that's what you're looking for, I'll back you up. W4DJW Mobile. Hey, Tom.
I'm trying to get down here and remember which direction I need to go. The wife says we was going the other way, so we'll go home. Okay. I'm going to make a U-turn here then. Not too bright, but... We're down here towards Garlington Road, and I was heading back towards Highway 14. And good afternoon, Dave. Nice to hear you. Go ahead, W4DJW and 0TR.
I'm not far from Garlington Road. Over there on the other side of 85, that Pelham Road and 85, getting Slosky's. Just now making my way back to Wade Hampton.
Where the kids live. We like that Walmart over there. But you know what? It's a booger to get in and out of it over there. We're down here by a Tipsy Taco. Have you ever had a Tipsy Taco?
Places like that coming up, springing up, we're going to have to try out. I saw a substation too or something like that while I was on my way out to Slosky's. We're going to have to try that one too. I haven't tried one of those in ages. I use Subway most of the time for sub sandwiches. They're pretty good. I liked Quincy's before they went out of business. Quiznos. Yeah, Quiznos, that was it. They had really, really good toasted sub. I haven't found anything near as good since they went out of business as they had.
This Tipsy Taco is just absolutely swamped every time we've been by it. I don't know if it is now or not. I didn't have a good angle to look at it. No, it don't look like it's that busy, but it must be good, or they wouldn't be there of an evening like that. This Big Lots is where the Bilos used to be down here, by Advanced Auto Parts and that, and where the old Radio Shack used to be eons ago. And Bernice wants to go in there and get something. I'm going to sit in the car, Dave. We've never been in that Tipsy Taco because of the COVID and all that, and we don't go out to eat a whole lot, but I'll bet it's good. And we just went to O'Reilly's, and I got me a locking gasket for the Tacoma, because when we're not home, it sits there, and all this gas is getting so high that they're going to start stealing gas again, I'm afraid. Maybe I'm paranoid, I don't know. But it don't cost that much to protect yourself. I'd rather do that than get robbed. This is NZOTR.
Well, hopefully they'll start using some of those 9,000 permits that are already granted to drill on. Well, you were telling me the other day about not having any shutting that down. That wasn't correct. There's 9,000 open permits that they should be using right now to drill oil, and they're not using them. Go ahead, Keith. KM4CHY W4DJW with NZOTR.
Dave and Tom, have a few minutes before lunch is over with, and while I jump in, I'm going to tell you about the Tipsy Taco. We've got one over here in Clemson. I eat in places when the wife was out of town. I go over by myself and have a taco or a burrito and a beer, and got all kinds of craft beers and the standards also, and the first few times it was really, really good, and the last time I went it wasn't great, but that was pre-COVID, and I'm willing to give them another try, but then on that last experience, been a little not enthusiastic about going back over.
General TR, see if I got it. Well, sounds good. And Dave, I don't claim to be a politician or know that much about it. I'm one-tenth as smart as you are, and I know that. Probably more like a thousandth less smart. But I did hear on the radio, the only time I listen to the radio is when I'm shaving, because, there's one nutcase on there, I can't remember her name, but they had a guy on there, and he was saying that those federal permits were all stopped when Biden come in, and they're in litigation, so they're not drilling on them now, and all he'd have to do is, I guess, take the litigation off. Now, you'd have to correct me on that, and I'm not being a bit political about it. I'd like to see him pump more gas.
Well, when you brought that up, that made me think about that, so I went and did some research, and then I found out there's 9,000 open permits, and they can't understand why they're not being used. They should be using those, but it's not like, you know, that's not like something you flip a light switch on and they come on all of a sudden. That's something that I think they want instant gratification where they can get it, and they're going to have to realize that they're going to have to do a little work to find the oil and to get gratification. So it will take a little while. It's not going to be instant gratification, but there are 9,000. And then in Biden, when Biden was telling us about what he's been doing, he's actually done a whole lot more than people give him credit for. I think if you watch that one news station, the Fox news station, you're really uninformed, right? If you limit yourself to that one news station, you got to listen to all of them. Then you got to read between the lines. But they've opened more permits. They've allowed more gas. And the Keystone Pipeline, when he shut that down, that really made me angry. But I found out that oil's already promised to somebody else. They can open that pipeline up, but that's not our oil to come down through there now. So there's all kinds of problems with what... One of the things I heard Neil deGrasse say is what you really have to pay attention to is when you know enough about a subject to think that you're correct, but you don't know enough about the subject to know how wrong you are. And he was absolutely right. I find out in life all the time. So it's not good to copy what somebody tells you, especially if you've only got one source for news. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of moving parts. Anyway, go ahead. I'll give it to you, Keith. And that'll probably be my last one because I just turned in the neighborhood, W4DJW.
Tom, I think the ones under litigation are where they had opened up the national park to drill it, if I'm not mistaken. Everything what Dave said. And Dave, I was going to tell you real quick before you do get out of here. I was looking at a programming cable for this radio and had it in the cart and got the radio hooked up and turned it on and everything's there already. Programming yet.
Want the same thing to be true with Warner Roberts that I bought as well. I want to make sure I've got it here. Same thing I found with the one that I bought with Robert. But if you do in cable, it's rather expensive, like on the order of $60. And if you don't want to spend $60 on it, you can use mine. I've got one that I've had for a long time. If you want to do any massive changes to it, I'll loan it to you instead of you having to go out and buy one for $60. They're not worth anywhere near $60. It's just the supply and demand. That's what they go for.
I've got the RT system software, so I was just going to get the RT systems. I think it's $30. But it would kind of be nice to have the full set, the full Kenwood set, because it's got other cables to go with it for, connecting various assorted devices. Right now, I don't need it. Go ahead, Tom.
Roger. Well, Dave, I don't have access to Fox. My neighbor watches it all the time, and it drives me nuts. I do listen to the local channel here for the weather and that, and then I shut it off. So I'm not a big news hound, but I did hear that on the local radio station here, which doesn't mean they're right. Like you said, that was a good evaluation of the whole situation. But shutting off the Russian oil is not going to do anything to us except hurt us, because China will pick it up because it's cheap oil, and they'll buy it at a bargain rate. So that'll just make ours go higher. So I don't see what good that's going to do. I don't know what the answer is, Dave. I'm not a politician. See you later, bud. Good to hear you. W4DJW and 0TR.
Driveway now, so this will be my last one. But anyway, you're I agree with you. It's difficult to know. It's hard to know what the right solution is. And those guys in control don't even know. They're just using the information they got and doing the best they can with the information that's available to them, which changes, which is dynamic. All right, it's not static. So they've got a tough job. Anyway, I'm going to go here and eat and talk to you later. You guys, take care. N0TR and KM4CHY W4DJW. Catch you later.
Hello, Dave. Good talking to you, and we'll catch you again. And I was going to add, too, your politicians, your representatives, and senators, no matter which side they are on, will slant things towards what they want you to hear. So Dave was exactly right. You got to kind of read between the lines on all that stuff. Okay.
Roger, Keith. This is General TR. Well, the thing that gripes me is when Trump was in there, and I realize he was an egomaniac and an idiot in some ways and should have stayed off of Twitter like a president's supposed to, but I did vote for him. What I don't understand is when we were energy independent and gas was $1.70-some cents a gallon here, now in 1 year, It's $5 a gallon almost. That's pretty hard to explain to the average guy like me.
Done it. 4WWZ, I don't know if you know about it, but the president just announced a ban on all gas coming from Russia.
Yeah, we knew he was going to. He was supposed to be in about 10:30 this morning, Chandler, so that's no news. But Keith, I don't think electric cars are the answer to it. It'll take you 12 to 18 hours to charge one if you can do it on 120 volts. And if you get the big charger put in, you need 230-volt three-phase, the way I understand it, not just single-phase. Most houses don't have three-phase running by their house because I was an electrician for 50 years, and I can tell you that's the way it is. So to install that, they'd have to run power lines to you with three-phase on it and then have to put three transformers up there on the line and bring it in. Then you could charge it real quick. And I worked with 480-volt three-phase and 230-volt three-phase and all of them all my life. But and then you got to get rid of all the lithium battery waste. So I don't see why they're saying everybody should go electric. Just don't register with me. $5,000 on a car up to $125,000, and then you got to find a charging station if you're out in the boondocks, and that might be a little bit on the hard side. And Keith, you need to up your power a little bit if you can. I don't know if Chandler still wanted to join in or not. We're headed towards home. Chandler, if you're there, go ahead. If you want to comment, if not, well, I'll send it back over to Keith. This is N0TR.
Approach to the automotive approach wasn't necessarily. See, I like the idea the Chevy Volt did. The Chevy Volt ran off of batteries for the first 50 or 60 miles, and GM came up with that figure based on the fact that 85% of people commute less than that every day. So then after that, you plug in. Now, it had an internal combustion engine and a generator that could charge the battery while it was underway. GM built it as a range extender. So the all-electric approach, until you get the infrastructure of charging stations built up, I don't see what was wrong with. I don't see internal combustion engines going away immediately, like within the next few years. Oh, and by the way, Tom, you were right. The U.S. does export natural gas. They haven't really been doing so since about 2016. There was one terminal in 2016, another one in 2018, 2019, and then two or three more were added. last I heard, the U.S. had no facilities for doing exporting of gas, but apparently now we have as many as 6 of them. And the problem there I see is, too, is natural gas is a very, very, very bulky cargo. And obviously building a pipeline under the Atlantic Ocean, not practical. Our natural gas, unfortunately, is not going to do that many people that much good.
Good job, but they have ships built for that. But I got my daughter on the phone here, and I got to run. So, Keith, I'll turn it back to you, and I'll say 73's. She's got a little bit of a medical problem I need to speak to her about. This is Angel TR. Over to you, Keith.
They keep saying, or maybe 20, or maybe it's other automakers, the European Union, and Detroit. The American companies, the goal that I hear varies from 2030, 2035, 2040. Who knows? But all the major U.S. and foreign automakers are committed to being on that path. And the other thing about that is you've got Renault's idea of having a battery swap station where basically, I guess like an oil change pit, you drive your car over a pit in the ground, this hydraulic arm reaches out under the car, unlocks the battery, pulls it down, grabs a fresh battery, hoists it up and locks it back in. So there, I guess, it's just a question of standardizing the locking mechanism for all possible cars. So the battery is bolted to the undercarriage. You go over a pit in the ground, and an automated hydraulic arm grabs the battery, puts in a new battery. So I think Renault was pioneering that. That's, maybe another possible way.
Heard about that. That's really interesting. I'll have to look that up later. And I agree on the Chevy Volt you were talking about. I've got an old Honda Accord hybrid, but it works differently than the way you were talking with the Chevy Volt. It's a hybrid, and I forget now how they categorize the Volt, but like you said, it uses its electric power to the wheels all the time, and then it would kick in the internal combustion engine and charge the batteries back up. I really think that would be the way forward, at least for now, anyway.
A V and a Bolt with a B. The Volt, I've seen the V, I've seen in 2010 or 2011. Yeah, that's the one that had basically the genset, the internal combustion generator was a range extender. After you've gone your 60 miles, that kicks in the recharge as you're driving. There was another one that was an actual, like the Toyota Prius is like a parallel series hybrid. The electric motor and the internal combustion engine, either one or both, can move the transaxle. That's more of a direct drive type of hybrid design. The let's see, the Chevy Malibu does something similar, which is a little bit reminiscent of a Honda design. The Chevy Malibu has a big alternator, which also functions as a motor, so it can assist the motor. It can assist the internal combustion engine. It can't completely take over from it. That was the Honda thing, what they called IMA, Integrated Motor Assist. The electric motor is basically a very, very large alternator. So you have the capability of putting energy back into it to assist the internal combustion engine to provide extra horsepower when it's needed. So there was all kinds of strategies, each with various advantages.
And the IMA is exactly what my Accord is. It's a 04, I think it might have been the first year of the IMA, the Honda hybrid. And it's kind of funny when the battery's in good shape, you go to start it and you don't even hear the starter motor because it uses the electric motor to start the engine, so you don't get a normal starting grind to it. Turn the key and it just turns it over and it starts really fast, and every now and then my battery will be down low, so it'll actually use the actual starter, and every time it does that I have to start it twice because I'll bump the key the first time and it won't start all the way because it's not spinning as fast, and I'll have to hit it again to get it to start over.
Cool old fashioned starter motor, or is there just the the high voltage, the torque from the high voltage motor, because the Toyota Prius has no actual starter. It's just the car starts, almost immediately, the thing that's a little bit disconcerting about the Malibu is, when you get to a stoplight after 20 or 30 seconds, you figure, oh crap, I stalled, because your internal combustion engine cuts out. But of course, it starts up immediately within half a second when you hit the accelerator. So some might find that a little disconcerting. But yeah, the Prius can move under only electric power, and the Malibu, as far as I know, cannot. The integrated motor assist provides additional horsepower, but it can't by itself move the entire car. See, in the Prius I can do that. Sometimes it's a fun little game, see how far and how fast you can creep before you actually engage the internal combustion engine.
Stoplight, it knows that the hybrid battery is low, so it won't do auto stop there.
Last 30 to 60 seconds of that transmission. Yeah, something about the hybrid system cuts out at a stop sign and restarts as soon as, I guess you were saying, as soon as you let up on the brake. Yeah, I tend to do that too, as opposed to immediately trying to hit the accelerator. And I think the beginning of your transmission, you said you drove and would have driven these things maybe only once or twice. This is actually my second one. I had a 2005 model, which worked like a dream, and a 2007 model, which I'm afraid is afflicted with gremlins. I've had all kinds of computer problems and other electronics problems. And there was actually a battery problem, but, you know, still have a problem. Like right now, I have no dashboard, so that's getting mildly annoying.
That was the only time that I'd ever had any experience in the Prius, going from Pennsylvania to Manhattan and back. I averaged 50 miles a gallon, and I was actually impressed at how roomy the car was. I became a fan, but I've not been at the point of actually buying one, just because I hadn't needed to buy a new vehicle lately. So I would definitely entertain one. But yeah, this old Accord is just an old beater that I used it mostly back and forth to work when I was going to work, and just around town and that kind of thing. Anyway, I need to get back from lunch. The boss man's probably sitting there tapping his fingers on the desk wondering where I'm at, so I'll let you go. Good talking to you. I missed your call sign again. KN4CHY back here.
Why, this is KD2BNG. Yeah, I used to get as high as 50 miles a gallon in the low 50s. I guess this one is lucky to get maybe 40. Anyway, I'll let you go, and I guess we'll hear you later. 73s. Take care. It's KD2BNG.
2BAG, KN4CHY, 73s 2. Good talking to you, and we'll hit you again sometime. KN4CHY, I'll be clear.
Tails, more WWG monitoring.